This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Whether you're a pharmaceutical industry professional, a patient, a regulator, a provider, or a payer, one thing is clear. In the modern healthcare ecosystem, collaboration is essential to progress, and good communication is the key to fruitful collaboration. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of the DIA Global Forum. Today, my guest is a good friend and colleague. Dr. Tomas Sciutto, head of medical excellence for Sanofi, is a recognized expert in oncology drug development, lifecycle management, and medical affairs. At the DIA Europe 2019 annual European meeting in Vienna, he will chair the special session titled Improving Pharmaceutical Communication and Exchange, Focusing on the Trends in Medical Function. Tomas, thank you for joining us today. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Roberto. It's great to talk to you again about these important topics.
Saying that communication is important for collaboration will not get anyone especially excited or intrigued. So is there anything new and exciting about pharmaceutical communication today, current and emerging?
Well, the answer is absolutely yes. Communication is critical for successful partnerships. I make a difference and distinguish collaboration, cooperation, and partnerships. And I put the emphasis on partnerships most of the time because I believe that partnerships really reflect the outcome, which means that all stakeholders within that partnership work towards one shared goal. And that might be different in cooperation and collaboration. But coming back to your question, every element of communication has been radically changing over the past decades. Let us look at a few examples. The what is changing. Our stakeholders want to have peer-to-peer level discussions with the pharmaceutical companies. The when is changing. Most stakeholders consume information when they are off from work. The with whom is changing. New stakeholder groups are emerging, including vocal patient populations, and they have different needs in terms of medical communication. The where is changing, as most stakeholders wish to engage with the companies outside of work when they have more time. And finally, Alberto, the how is changing. Stakeholders wish to consume information via different communication channels, including the digital world. They wish to meet with the company several times instead of just once. And I would say that the nature of communication, the methodology of communication should change as well. I personally believe that candid, decisive, emotionally intelligent or confidence-boosting and optimistic discussions with objective listening skills will enhance partnerships further.
You mentioned that the what, the when, the who, where, and how have changed. You're describing basically a revolution in relation to pharmaceutical communication. What are some examples of how this what, when, who, where, and how has radically changed in the last 10 years, 20 years?
Well, I have to tell you that these trends actually have incredible impact on the way we work in the medical function. Let's think about a very simple example. Most physicians and even other stakeholders within the pharmaceutical value chain nowadays come to us and ask, well, can I have information from your company at 10 p.m. in the evening when I actually have a quiet moment to think about what I will do with this particular patient? Now, clearly 10 p.m. is not the usual time when we could set up a very fruitful face-to-face interaction with that particular stakeholder. So we need to think of other ways to address these emerging needs of various stakeholders in this digital world. So think about it. There could be a new function emerging in the medical, which is called EMSL, the electronic medical science liaison, who would be on demand at a different part of the world in a different time zone, who could actually talk to that particular stakeholder representing the company and provide this solution to the question from that particular stakeholder on patient. The nature of
yes, you're right away. Is that electronic MSL likely to be a robot in the future?
Yes, it could be. The digitalization of the world will radically change the medical industry, the healthcare industry, and particularly the pharmaceutical space. We could automate a number of jobs within the medical function. But I do believe that, as we've just started to discuss, I think that communication is all about creating effective partnership. And the leadership aspect of communication cannot be substituted with robots. Simple queries or medical information, as we currently term it, may actually be automated to certain degrees. But think about complex queries that we receive from stakeholders. They would require lots of research, and that may not be substituted by robots or any kind of artificial intelligence to that degree. So I think there is room for robots and for automating certain activities within medical, but I believe that real impactful and effective communication and scientific exchange and medical communication will continue to be delivered by real people in this space.
Does this suggest that as we look at the changing role of medical affairs, whether in Europe or around the world, that the job descriptions and job competencies of people that work in medical affairs will have to evolve? In other words, if a robot can take the place of a current MSL, and you talked about the importance of leadership in this area, are we really looking to a time where the medical affairs function will really only require sophisticated, highly trained people? Not that MSLs are not, but will the skill set required for effective medical affairs function evolve to a point where if robots are present, the kinds of people that are needed are going to have to be much more highly or more specifically trained?
Thank you for that question. I agree with you. I feel that, as I've just mentioned, leadership will not be subjected to automation in the coming 10 to 20 years. The role of MSLs or field-based medical will increase in the future tremendously and significantly. Let's just talk a little bit about what these trends are and perhaps position the medical function and see what the medical function can actually do amidst all these trends in the world. The medical function is best placed to assume a strategic role in stakeholder engagement. And stakeholders nowadays wish to engage with the company to identify solutions to their questions about patient management. It's not only a sort of a change of information at the time. It's a deeper interaction and engagement whereby solutions must be defined, designed, and communicated. The medical function, therefore, has a great opportunity to provide these solutions as they can credibly translate the science of the product into the language of patient management. So let's look at some of these trends in the industry and see what the implications might be. I was talking about peer-to-peer interactions with stakeholders before. The medical function should therefore enhance technical competencies, as you've just mentioned, about disease states and about medicine. So these are technical functional competencies around knowledge of disease, around the local healthcare system, around the therapeutic area, around the product that really need to be improved. Another very important trend is the demand for real-world data. The medical function must master real-world evidence generation. They must be able to design studies or acquire and analyze data from real-world investigations. This means that we really need to improve competencies around data acquisition, data management, analytical skills. The third important trend is effective engagement with stakeholders. And that is where medical can really improve strategic capabilities. The medical function should improve communication skills, leadership competencies, because it's all about scientific leadership. And we also need to improve strategic capabilities to communicate the right scientific information to the right stakeholders at the right time via the right channels. And Alberto, you can't be more strategic than that. It is all about where to play and how to win with medical communication. The fourth important trend is digital revolution. The medical function must improve capabilities to take advantage of these digital resources for evidence generation, insight generation, and scientific exchange activities. This will lead to the generation of new jobs, as you've been alluding to. We Sure. may have new jobs like an analytical job, data analytics. We may have new jobs like true stakeholder engagement professionals creating strategic stakeholder engagement plans around the right messages to the right stakeholders at the right time via the right channels. There will be many different new jobs that can come up in this evolution of the world around digital.
Listeners who are young professionals may well wonder what skill sets should they develop to perhaps get into the medical affairs function of the future. What would you advise them to do?
I would like to be very revolutionary and maybe a little bit provocative. My advice to young professionals would be that they would need to hone their leadership competencies. In today's world, one can acquire the knowledge of technical skills in an instant. Clearly, experience will never go out of fashion. But technical competencies will be so compartmentalized and so specialized, and some of them may even be subjected to automation, that I don't think that it's an insurmountable challenge for any young individual and professional to learn something about oncology, around cardiovascular medicine, around endocrinology, etc. I think what is going to be incredibly important is that the role of the medical function will be scientific leadership. Clearly, we would need excellence in and with functional competencies, but we are looking for real leaders, leaders who can set direction, align people around that direction, interpersonal skills, leading self, leading teams, and engaging teams to achieve results. That would require interpersonal skills, judgment, leading change, also learning agility. Leadership will be the next big thing for the medical function to master.
One of the functions of medical, correct me if I'm wrong, is to demonstrate the value of a product to stakeholders such as payers. Is that function going to evolve further? How will the communication of product value change, if it will, in the coming years?
I think that demonstrating the value of the product will remain a critical function within the family of medical activities in the company. I feel that value demonstration will become further specialized now with data lakes, with real world evidence, with big data and a huge analytical competence within and outside of pharmaceutical companies would require specialized skills to understand comparative effectiveness, the effectiveness of the product in the real world. And conclusions must be made through robust methodologies, which appear to be rather complicated. So I think that this whole world of value demonstration will become more specialized and certainly will remain on the agenda for the next many years to come as we struggle to finance our healthcare systems. And we need to find the really good medicines with the highest possible benefit risk characteristics for a particular patient population or even subset of patient populations.
Tomas, let me turn to a corollary topic. Social media in the context of medical communications, if they help, how do they do that? If they hurt, how so, and what could be done about it?
This is a very important question, Alberto. I believe that social media, and generally speaking, digital communication methods are currently everywhere and that they have become normal to our everyday lives. They can certainly help medical communications, if they are used appropriately, if they are targeted to the right audience with the appropriate information. At the same time, they can hurt if they do not fulfill these criteria. What is appropriate? Appropriate communication, appropriate information is all about ensuring objective, factual, and science-based, evidence-based pieces of information, which are based on robust, evidence-based medicine, methodologies, data that are derived from studies that have been created with robust methodologies to answer a specific scientific question. In terms of definition of appropriateness, obviously, is something that pharmaceutical companies define together with competent authorities and reimbursement authorities and discussions with various stakeholders, patients, healthcare professionals. But I feel that the power of social media and digital communication is exactly that. How can we, in the pharmaceutical industry, translate those complex scientific messages into the language of our stakeholders that cannot be misinterpreted or misunderstood? How can we, the pharmaceutical industry, control social media in terms of ensuring that the messages that we have designed and communicated are not changed in a way that creates misinterpretation or misunderstanding or misinformation? Do we need to control, and that is the role of the competent authorities, to provide the legal framework of how social media is used in the overall discourse of the benefit-risk assessment? Very interesting questions, and I may not know the answer to all of these, but what I can tell you is that certainly I can see the opportunity for us to create easily digestible and very appropriate, scientifically valid statements and communication to various different stakeholders using social media. The question is, what is happening afterwards that those messages have been conveyed? Can we control? Can we be part of this discourse? Should we be part of this discourse?
You mentioned easily digestible just a moment ago, conjures the image of health literacy. And to what extent is health literacy intersecting with social media, with medical communications, with medical affairs? What are your thoughts on that?
Immediately, things that come to my mind is that in the current world where we actually simplify everything, when we use sentences with maximum 3 or 4 words, when we leave out the important parts of sentences, the predicate, the object, sometimes even the subject, and when everyone has this tendency to communicate in the simplest way possible, I feel that health literacy becomes an important and sometimes scary question. On the one hand, I feel that we need to improve stakeholders' ability to understand data and understand the scientific messages. On the other hand, with the plethora of information available at the fingertips of everyone, and when patients come to consultations and the patients practically take an active part with their healthcare providers in managing their own disease and condition, with these two extremes, stakeholders have the opportunity to understand their disease much better and take control of the management of their own disease. But on the other hand, there is a information overload and they are not able to define the pieces of information that would really help them to manage their disease. I feel that somehow these extremes should be moved closer to the center. I don't know the solution to this, but there is one thing that I can tell you. Medical communication, the way I've just mentioned, using principles of communication that I've mentioned earlier, which means candid, decisive, confidence-boosting, emotionally intelligent, empowering, and optimistic discussions, scientific discussions, will certainly get these two extremes and move them closer to the center.
I think we all see that patients today are becoming increasingly sophisticated in the ability to digest complex information, and certainly about their own diseases. We see that in prime time on television, there are medical shows that use very specialized medical and surgical terms. And presumably the audience out there is able to capture and follow them. So is pharmaceutical communication at this point in a position to convey complex information? Or to put it another way, communication of pharmaceutical information should be as simple as possible, but not simpler, because the audience is actually able to absorb more sophisticated information than was the case maybe even 5 years ago.
I think that messages must be directed and refined to the right audience. And I really look at digital communications here as an opportunity, because even if we use technical terms, we may be able to hyperlink and the audience might be able to click on these terms and understand more about what those technologies are, what that terminology really means. And I feel that here there is an opportunity rather than a challenge or a disadvantage to medical communications. But I agree with you, it shouldn't be simplified. It should be just digestible and simpler for people to understand.
Finally, Tomas, one clearly wants medical communication and exchange to be effective. Are there any metrics to quantify their effectiveness?
I feel that in order to identify meaningful metrics or key performance indicators of medical communication, we should clearly articulate the objective of medical communication. And you would be surprised how challenging it is sometimes to articulate why we are engaged in a medical communication. So, for example, obtaining insights for medicines development can be an objective of scientific communications and medical communications. Another one could be to ensure better understanding of the appropriate use of the product in certain patient populations. Now, once these objectives have been articulated, I'm a great believer that impact indicators or metrics can be defined, such as, for instance, the proportion of insights translated into actionable activities in case of an objective that targets obtaining insights for medicines development, or the other example that I mentioned around ensuring better understanding of the appropriate use of the product, an impact metric or indicator could be to assess the impact of medical communication activities on patient management, such as adherence to treatment. Another impact KPI could be scientific share of voice when the ultimate objective is to ensure that stakeholders understand the benefit-risk profile of that product during the course of a launch of a new product, for instance. Having said that, I feel that claims on effective communication or causal relationships between effective communication and impact, such as, for instance, adherence to treatment, must strictly be based on the methodology and the data generated. It's easy to come up with an impact KPI, but it's very difficult to prove that that KPI is actually valid, or we have addressed or we have reached that performance indicator. We need to use appropriate methodology and in many cases, even a randomized clinical study design. Those stakeholders who participated in a medical education activity versus those who did not participate, and then look at how the impact of learning, the knowledge transfer, the behavioral change actually occurred after 6 months, a year, 2 years after that training. That requires robust methodology and very clear scientific reasoning. And that's when those metrics and performance indicators really become impactful and effective.
So it seems that this whole area of metrics will need to evolve much further in the coming years. So it isn't where it needs to be right now.
I agree with you entirely. With the advent of advanced analytics and lots of data generation activities, I think that the microcosm of metrics and metric development and performance assessment will need to change as well.
Well, Tomas, really do appreciate your insights and your time. Always wonderfully articulate. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.